You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, welcome to this AHDB podcast. AHDB has released the latest in a series of Horizon reports, which scan the landscape ahead. And this one takes a look at the key opportunities for the sheep sector over the next 10 years. There are around 33.5 million sheep in the UK, spread over 78,000 farm holdings. And a few more stats to wrestle with while you're here. The average number of sheep and lambs on each holding is 430. About 10,400 holdings have fewer than 20 head of sheep, and 9,400 holdings have more than 1,000 head. I'm John Bates, and I'm going to have a chat with Rebecca Meir, AHDB's Beef and Lamb Strategy Director, and David Swales, Head of Strategic Insight, about the Horizon report and what it means to sheep farmers. Hi, David. Thanks for sparing the time. Give me a brief overview of your role, would you?
Hi, John. So my role is Head of Strategic Insight. So I work within our market intelligence team at AHDB with a range of colleagues. My job actually covers a number of sectors, sheep and livestock sectors certainly part of that. And within this particular report, we've looked at lots of data around what's going on in terms of trade, in terms of consumer demand, and what's happening in the markets at the minute to kind of understand what some of the opportunities are for sheep production.
Just before we get into the detail of the report, agricultural policy is continually evolving and DEFRA have recently announced some changes.
They have. So there was an announcement, I think, a couple of weeks ago about this new scheme which they're launching in England. So this is just for England, something called the Sustainable Farming Incentive. So I think that's a really important one for livestock farmers to be aware of and to have a look at some of those announcements. There's some information on AHDB's website about that as well. So it's a really key scheme. Obviously, most farmers will be aware that direct payments are being phased out over a 7-year period in England. And that's a huge challenge for the sector because we know quite how important those payments are to underpin business profitability. So there is probably a need to understand what's in that scheme, what sort of payments will be available in the future. My reading of it is it looks a bit less generous than the direct payment scheme. So you may be able to offset some of the losses you have from direct payments with this new sustainable farming incentive, but the payments aren't as high and you'll probably have to do more to draw them down, but certainly a really important thing to look at.
Okay, let's just get into the Horizon report then and some of the insight. Tell me a little bit about the trends in domestic demand.
Well, let's start with where we are at the minute, because I think there's a good news story going on at the minute around lamb consumption domestically. So we know that retail sales of lamb are up a lot compared to previous years. And some of that impact there with COVID has actually been quite positive for lamb consumption. So although the eating out market has obviously suffered, what we've seen is the growth in channels like retail and in food delivery has kind of more than offset the losses we've had in eating out. So lamb has actually been one of the big winners from COVID, if there is such a thing as winners from COVID. And that's part of the reason why we see such strong prices in the market at the minute, because that domestic demand is so buoyant. But one of the things we did in the report is kind of looked beyond what's happening in this particular moment and tried to look a bit more strategically about what's happened over the previous sort of 20, 30 years and what we expect will happen going forward. And there, the big trend, all the data shows that per capita consumption of lamb is falling in the UK. So I think since 1980, there's been about an 80% drop in lamb consumption per capita. So that's a really stark figure to get our heads around. Obviously, we've had some population growth over that time period, but per capita consumption is falling. There's a whole host of reasons for that in terms of how well lamb fits into sort of modern lifestyles. And is it seen as a healthy product? Is it seen as sort of convenient and versatile for the consumer? So there's some challenges, I think, around how we market lamb. And that's, I think, going to be an ongoing challenge, if I'm honest, John. I don't see domestic consumption growing dramatically in the next 10 years.
Okay, well, that's probably a good point where I could introduce Rebecca Meir then. Rebecca, thank you for coming on the podcast. You're the strategy director for Beef and Lamb. Just give me a quick overview of what a strategy director does.
Hi, John. Very pleased to be here. It's my fortunate role to be able to take a really broad look across the beef and lamb sector completely to understand exactly what is needed by our stakeholders, our levy payers, what the data and evidence is telling us about the industry, and to work with the board, who are made up of levy representatives, to decide where AHDB should support our levy payers in the right way going forward. At the moment, we're looking at our next five-year strategy and the areas we focus on across research, domestic marketing, export, on a variety of different areas. So I get to play in lots of camps, which is enjoyable.
Okay, now David was talking about the fact that the trend is being bucked just at the moment in the domestic marketplace with a growth in sales of lamb. But overall, the long-term trend of lamb consumption is going down. So that brings marketing and promotion into the mix a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the sorts of things that you've been doing then for the lamb sector.
So yes, definitely bucking the trend at the moment. But AHDB has been playing in the promotional space for a long time. For lamb specifically, we've run some excellent campaigns. Most recently was Love Lamb, which returned £8 for every £1 spent on the marketing at retail sales.
So what we know is that COVID's had a big impact on buying trends and so on. Is that true in lamb?
It has, definitely. And it's been very interesting that actually we've seen a very buoyant lamb market during this period, and reported this in the very beginning with Make It Lamb, which was across ourselves and the devolved nation to look at a period of crisis. And we found some real engagement with that from the consumers, that ability to home cook, spend a little bit more time with the family. And they've really started to enjoy lamb again, which is great. That returned £7 at retail for every pound that AHDB spent on the campaign. But it's time for lamb to look as well at an opportunity and a threat for domestic marketing that has been posed. We all know that there is a certain amount of negative noise around red meat and red meat consumption, and that the consumers, while they're still absolutely buying into seeing this as part of a healthy diet, there is some nervousness around that. So AHDB has decided to focus very much on the reputational elements of red meat. And for lamb specifically, it's a brilliant story. Environmentally, welfare-wise, the way that it fits in the diet as a good protein source. Actually, lamb's got a great story to tell. We started to tell that in the Eat Balance campaign during January, and that is very much the focus for our domestic marketing over the coming years, to properly own the reputation of lamb going forward, tell the brilliant story, tell the stories of the farmers underneath that, and really connect people to the product again, as well as obviously giving those taste and enjoyment cues about what a great product it is to have in the diet.
So are you targeting a specific group of people in the population?
We are. So we'll be looking at what we would call the waverers. We've moved on a little bit from looking at people just by age and kind of household makeup and started to really understand how they eat and how they interact with a product. And this group, the waverers, are people that are still very much considering red meat as a part of their diet, but there's a nervousness there, and there is an ability for them to reduce their consumption because of some of the negative noises that they've been hearing, and actually because of a change in their lifestyle and the way that they cook and eat. And we need to keep that lamb's relevance up with them, because if you look at, you know, who lamb is targeted at the moment, you have two very distinct groups. One of those is an older population. Over 60% of retail sales are those in the age group 55 plus. And obviously, we need to appeal to that younger consumer. Your other core audience is within the halal consumer. They only make up 5% of the population, but 20% of lamb sales. So obviously that's an absolutely core market for lamb. But that younger, engaged consumer that really see an opportunity in buying good products that fit with their kind of ethical values, I think they're a real opportunity for lamb as well. So this reputation work will work across the piece to talk to people that are interested and engaged in that conversation and turn them into real lamb supporters and reduce their ability to reduce their consumption of lamb in the future and increase their consideration of that as an important part of a healthy diet.
So a buoyant domestic market, which will be welcome news to the sheep farmers that are listening to this, who've been having sleepless nights in the past few weeks and perhaps in the coming weeks as they lamb this season. What about our international markets? How's the sort of the international trade looking?
I think that the globally, I think is a very positive picture, actually. So We looked at a lot of data and evidence in the report, and the forecasts which are available on how lamb consumption is expected to grow globally are quite positive, really. So the data we found showed that growth is expected to be pretty steady over the next 10 years at around about 2% growth a year. Now what's driving that is this sort of global surge in what are called middle class consumers globally. So what we see is globally there's obviously population growth going on and economic growth going on all the time. And that's really focused on these middle class consumers. So when people in perhaps more developing parts of the world start to get a little bit more disposable income, they're able to spend that on dairy and livestock products, basically, to improve their diet. And we see, although per capita consumption is relatively low in other parts of the world, we see that growing quite rapidly over the next 10 years. So the number of these middle class consumers is expected to grow globally from about 4 billion today to about 5.5 billion in 10 years. So that's 40% growth in 10 years. And it's very geographically uneven. So I'm a geographer by training, so I love a bit of geography. And where you see most of that growth is actually in the Asia Pacific region. So the region around China and in China in particular. So that's driving a lot of demand, not only for lamb, but all sorts of other things as well. So you're going to see most economic growth globally in that region. So that's a really key part of the world, I think, for us to think about in terms of lamb exports, and making sure we've got really good market access in those regions, which is something which obviously AHDB looks at and uses levy payers' money to ensure we've got access to some of these markets. But there's all sorts of other markets around the world which will grow, but maybe not quite as quickly as the Asian Pacific market. So there's a lot of options out there. And I think part of our strategy at AHDB is to try to sort of get a sort of diverse portfolio of exporting companies which we can target dependent on the market conditions at that point in time.
Sure. And I guess then the flip side of what you're saying is that currently the most of the exports are going into Europe. And I would imagine that because of the recent changes that we've seen with our relationship and our trading relationship with Europe, that will have had an impact. Have the enhanced border checks, has that had an impact on exports?
Yeah, it has, John. So around about 90% of our sheep meat exports go to the EU at the minute. That's less than it was a few years ago, but it's obviously still a really high proportion. And the EU market has lots of the same characteristics of ours, really. There is decline in per capita consumption. So I think, John, broadly, we want to look at some of those opportunities further away whilst recognising that the EU market is still really important to us in the short term. So there has been an awful lot of extra customs checks and rules and regulations which have come in with the EU exit. We spoke to quite a few processors and exporters about that as part of this work. And it is interesting, it does have an effect, it does add cost. But what we see is the cost is kind of affects different parts of the trade in different ways. So if, say, we've got a lorry load of frozen lamb carcasses, if there's a bit of a delay at the border, it doesn't really affect that product too much because it's a frozen product and it can kind of, it is a bit of a frustration, but it kind of can sit there for a little bit. And because it's literally all the product in there is the same, it's all lamb carcasses, there's only a need to have one export health certificate for that whole lorry load. But what we see increasingly is our exporters don't want to send full lorry loads of carcasses. They want to split that carcass up into cuts and target those cuts to wherever in the world is the best market to send them. So I think they would prefer to send maybe some pallets of different fresh product which go into supermarket chains in the EU. Now that then gets more complicated because if you're in a just-in-time supply chain, the supermarket doesn't ring up and say, can you send me some lamb chops for 2 weeks' time, please? They literally want it within a day or two. And then in that scenario, a delay at the border is more of a challenge. And we also, if you've got multiple products in that load, they will need multiple animal health certificates, which all have to be filled in by a vet. They all have to be inspected at the border. So in essence, it is a frustration. It's causing an added cost to the supply chain and it's not helping. So there's some things which we suggest in the report, which the industry and indeed government might want to look at to hopefully make that trade a bit easier going forward.
Now, Britain, of course, is not alone as a producer of sheep meat. There are competitors around the world. How strong is and how strong are the competitors? What does the Horizon report tell us about that?
Well, we're a big player when it comes to sheep. So I think we're the third largest exporter globally, but we're also the fourth largest importer of lamb. So we're a big player in this marketplace. I think in terms of cost of production, so overall costs for our production, we're obviously in quite a good part of the world to produce lamb. Lovely British rainfall, really good for growing grass. So we're well positioned, I think, to produce lamb. The challenge we have, I think, our cost of production probably are pretty competitive compared to most parts of Europe, certainly. But when you compare ourselves to, say, the US and Australia, who are the big global exporters, their costs are quite a bit lower than ours. In some cases, the largest sort of Australian, New Zealand farms will be probably almost half the cost of production of typical farms over here. So that's a challenge. And there may be things which we can learn from them and techniques and things we can pick up. But I think potentially for me, we're not really competing purely in terms of cost, I think, but with some of these big competitors. So we've got to have a good story to tell around why people should choose English lamb. And there's also an awful lot of growth going on there. As I said, this 2% growth, there's opportunity for everybody. So although we are competing with Australia and New Zealand, there may be opportunities for us to find markets which they aren't able to fully supply as well.
Rebecca, perhaps I could bring you back in here. David's highlighting the cost of production. And is that something that you would encourage farmers to look closely at? And can AHDB help?
It is, definitely. We, as I say, we're in a buoyant market at the moment domestically, but we are in a position where actually those export markets are really important. And we know that there's that long-term decline. And the things that farmers can control on farm is that cost of production. As David said, we're never going to be in a position to compete as a commodity product. And actually, would you want to? It is a good value, quality product. And Britain has an excellent story to tell behind that. But if we focus on those costs of production, if we focus on making sure that environmentally and welfare wise and working at all of that piece of work on farm is something that we really get done well at Farmgate here, that actually gives you a couple of things. Firstly, it means that when you're telling the story on the domestic and export markets, we've got a really strong story to tell. Secondly, it means that actually if you are working on your environmental elements, it means your inputs are lower and your outputs are lower. So therefore, your costs are lower and your profitability is higher, which works obviously for both on farm and for the story we have to tell. In terms of how AHDB is helping, we very specifically looked at what work we can be doing that actually individual farmers can't do alone, and that our stakeholders aren't providing for that market. So that is AHDB's role. What can we do that we need to do on a national level? And for that, we are very much focused on, over the next 5 years, genetics and the genetics programme, because the more progress you make genetically, the higher those productivity figures become. We are focused in on the environmental work and the areas that we can help with those, which helps both, again, on that reputational element, but obviously into the new payment structures that will be going on in future as those payment and those agri policies change. And we will be looking at those business tools, which will help people understand, as David has said already about that calculator, we've really kind of seen that make great differences for the market, because the more we can understand our production as a business, the greater forward we reach. And all of those elements together means that AHDB can tell our story. We can really focus in on those export markets. We can get that market access. We can tell the Britain story abroad. We can link the commercial sector to the people who are actually buying. And we can focus in on the domestic market. We can tell consumers the story of lamb. We can make it top of mind. And putting all those things together, we would hope that AHDB puts our levy payers in a good place to be able to take these opportunities in the future.
David, just to round off, tell us about the tools that sheep farmers can access that you would encourage them to look at.
There's probably a couple of key ones for farmers themselves. So as Rebecca has said, I guess now's a really good time to have a look at your farming business and think about what it looks like when those direct payments come out. So that's going to be a huge challenge for the industry. So the business impact calculator is a really easy tool to use. You just put in your figures around, I mean, your overall basic payments, your direct payments coming into your business, and you can see what that profile looks like over the next 7 years. And then there's a whole host of tools and resources available to hopefully help you make some efficiency gains and improvements in your business. Perhaps the key one would be something called KPI Express. So that's a tool which enables you to kind of understand how you perform on really key metrics for your business. How do you see it? Are you good, bad, or different for different things? And what sort of level of performance should you be aiming for in certain areas? So it's a really basic tool, which hopefully people can use in a few minutes by visiting our website. And if you know roughly how you're performing compared with everyone else, you can then understand, well, okay, these are the bits of my business that are working really well and I don't need to worry about. And these are the areas which I need to start to make some improvements on. And hopefully there's a whole host of people out there that can help you make those improvements. But certainly there's a network of strategy farms for beef and lamb, which are real farmers who AHDB work with. And those farmers open up their businesses and share their successes and failures with everybody. So you can go along maybe and see if this is an area I need to improve on. What's that strategy farmer doing in that area, and what can I do to move forward?
And those tools and where to access information about the farms that David's just spoken about, that's all available on the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. As always, AHDB want to hear from you. If you've got any ideas for future episodes or have any comments about this podcast, please contact us via the link in the show notes or via the website, ahdb.org.uk. Thanks to my guests, Rebecca and David, and podcast producer, Gemma Pammon. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.